with his assistance, we go on and we continue in the faith and pray and seek. And throughout our lives, he will build us up. So the thing is, don't look at yourself and say, what do I have to do? But say, oh, Lord God, do thou for me. Because he is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one who gives us the gifts we need to be what we want to be in him. He is the one we look to for the spiritual blessings in Christ, which can lead us on to greater righteousness. I can't do it. There's no set of laws I can instruct you in that will make you a better person, but I do know that through prayer and through seeking the Lord, by grace you can receive all manner of gifts. And there's, you know, if a son shall ask his parent for a fish, will he give him a stone?
I mean, a serpent.
In other words, God knows how to give you good things.
In Acts chapter 3, when we see Peter first preaching the gospel to the Jews, he said to them, unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. It's one of the most basic elements of the gospel. We're not talking about obtaining an apostleship or obtaining the office of a prophet. We're talking about the blessing of being turned from your iniquities. It's a very basic thing. It's right there for us. This isn't one of those, well, some people have it, some people don't type things.
Are all prophets? Are all teachers? No, but he came to bless us all in turning us from our iniquities. I know that. When I tell people to seek righteousness, sometimes I feel like people give me a dirty look, like I'm almost blasphemous. Like, you, what, you want to be like Christ? You think you're something special? It's like, no, I just think that that's what he's called us to. And so, in spite of the long odds,
my money goes on the promises of God. I'll bet on him every time. I'll take the doubting words of man and they who say you can't have that. I'll set in opposition to all those words, all the promises of God that says you can, you ought, you shall. If you believe in Christ, you shall have these things.
I'm going to seek after it. It seems to me the only thing to do. So repent of this, receive and hear, and that's it. Well, it's not sufficient. If you'll not watch, you know, watching means to watch over and to guard, to defend. You know, you've got faith, but you've got to watch that faith. You've got to nurture it and maintain it and help it grow.
And seeing as God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, in order that we might obtain, this is not some big hullabaloo. It is not our work, but his work in us. I look for his work in me. That's what I'm doing. I'm searching. I'm searching for God's work in me. I'm searching to see those works completed.
I'm talking about people who are just self-satisfied. Their faith is truly dead. That's what this is talking about. They need to wake up. They need to watch. Because if they don't guard it, he will come on as a thief. And you will not know what hour I will come upon thee, because he will suffer them to be deceived. They say, the thief in the night. They think it's the rapture. Well, they know that this doesn't refer to the rapture. It means the unexpected coming of calamity when he comes on you as a thief. The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, but brethren, you are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief.
They use the thief analogy to bolster the idea that Jesus is going to come and steal us away, which is not in keeping with the spirit of the analogy.
We don't want Christ to come to us as a thief. If you are in Christ, I don't know when Christ is going to return, but when the day approaches, we will be very in tune that he is just around the corner.
There are certainly scriptures that suggest that. In Hebrews, when it talks about, you know, not forsaking the gathering together of ourselves, it says, well, we should gather together all the more, even as you see the day approaching, even more so. So that implies that we will be able to see the day approaching.
As we know from Revelation, when we study it, or, you know, where we might know this in advance, that after the two witnesses are slain, they rise from the dead. And Christ will return, I mean, within hours, if not right then. So there are certain time markers. You know, that day and that hour knoweth no man. But as the time approaches, it will become more and more apparent. Right now, I've said it could be 1,000 years from now. There's no reason it has to be right now. You know, honestly, the Arabs could get a nuclear weapon and annihilate the Jews in Israel.
It wouldn't be the first time they faced annihilation.
And God could gather the remnant back again at some other time. It's just because they've got a nation there now. There's nothing that says it has to be now. I'm telling you. So we don't want the Lord to come to us as a thief. You know, there is no snatching away. I'm not going to really belabor that. I'd like them to get straightened out on their doctrines. There's a lot of just messy stuff going out there with prophecy. And it's definitely not a good attitude to have going into the end times, like thinking you're not going to be part of it. It's better to prepare your mind that and to know that it's given you on the behalf of Christ, not just to believe on him, but to suffer for his name's sake. But there's really nothing impeding you, if you believe in the rapture, from preparing yourself mentally anyways. Because here's the thing, is that everything in your walk that would prepare you for the end times is stuff you should already be doing and seeking anyways. Everything that makes a Christian a fulfilled and good and proper Christian is what'll carry him through anything. So there's no barrier. And in fact, if you allow the sense that you're going to escape the tribulation to overtake you, and you become lazy,
and sort of take the foolish virgin sort of attitude, and go to sleep.
Because I know a lot of people who believe in the rapture, they're getting ready. They think the Lord's coming. When he comes, they want to be found doing his work. And I know they're very enthusiastic, and God bless them. You know, I do think it is heresy. The heresy is just another sin, that in time God will reveal to each of us what we need to know, and he will purge from us our sins. If you're a believer, that's coming. I have the utmost faith in that. I put my faith in God on behalf of people. I don't have to convince everybody right now. I think that's a mistake. And to start condemning people, my former pastor is very much like, they're already deceived, they're going to worship Antichrist. It's like, that's just so presumptive. I mean, to say that, like, oh, just because they missed the rapture, suddenly they're just not Christians. You know, they have no, their faith in Christ just goes out the window, and they're going to accept the false Christ. I don't think so. Though I'll tell you what, if it causes you to have the wrong attitude, if you're one of those people who just thinks like, well, I'm glad I'm a Christian, I'll miss all that, and then you go off after covetousness and licentiousness, and you spend your life in a mockery of Christ, you're already deceived. You don't need Antichrist to deceive you. We already fall under his power when we yield to sin. So, I mean, that's the battle to fight now. That is the battle to fight. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments. You know what? We all are given a garment in Christ. It's supposed to be white as snow and clean. Let us not defile it with false faith, dead faith, evil works. Let us wear our uniform with pride and with, and I mean the sort of, not the sort of personal pride, but meaning the pride in Christ. I'm proud of him. You know what I mean? What he has done.